Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to Smell You Later, the podcast about Sable's sinuses.
I have great news on that front.
I know. You're juicing.
This episode's brought to you by corticosteroids, of which I'm on plenty of.
So is that like an ongoing thing?
Yes.
So you just take steroids now?
I have to take an inhaler, a corticosteroid inhaler, twice a day. I, too, am also like, is this, for, like, when do I stop? Is this forever? Like, what, why? How?
Are they pills too?
And singular pills.
Girl.
Which again, I'm like, what the hell do you do?
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm like looking at the little prescription bottle and it's like 30 in here and there's like 2 extra refills. I'm like, so I just have to keep taking this like every night? Like
then what? But you're better.
But I am better. I'm smelling like I have never smelled before.
I love that.
Possibly even better, but that might just be my imagination.
Sure. Sure.
Part of me is like, was my sense of smell always as sensitive? Like, damn.
Wow.
Or is it just that I haven't smelled in 2 weeks, so everything is like vibrant.
You're superhuman now.
I am. Maybe that's the trick. Yeah.
Well, we're happy to have you back.
This is my superhero origin story.
Things were getting dark.
They were getting quite, I was getting very depressed.
I was like, those nostrils are yours. Need to pull it together for the sake of the show.
Yeah. I was like, we have to cancel the show because the fun of the whole imagine.
Well, believe science.
Thank you, medicine.
Thank you, medicine.
Thank you, Big Pharma.
Literally. Thank you, Big Pharma, sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Medicare.
This isn't really our beat, but it sort of is. But I am dying for your shady take on it.
Oh.
Glossier going into Sephora.
That new CEO, she is CEOing.
I mean, it had to, like, not always be the plan, clearly, but, like,
probably like that's like her first thing of action.
She did come on months ago, didn't
she? Yeah, where she was like, we got to get this shit into stores, guys.
I just met her. She's cool.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm surprised it was Sephora and not Ulta.
Thank you.
Just because like I feel like Ulta is more, has more reach nationwide.
Yes, exactly.
And is more where their customer shops.
Exactly. Listen, Sephora may be for the girls, but Ulta is for the dolls. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is an Ulta household. Sephora can burn in hell.
Like, it's different. It would be different if they were launching from the get-go at Sephora. Then I can see how Sephora's push. They have a reputation for launching big brands.
Sure.
But, like, they already have a reputation.
Yeah.
So they should just go with the widest reach then.
Ulta is running circles around Sephora lately.
Well, and they always have been.
Yeah. But now that, like, the D2C of it all is coming into.
Right. Does anyone, like, buy Glossier?
That's a good question. I do think that Glossier's imperial phase being over and them sort of succumbing to like the game
capitalism.
Of it all. Yeah. I do think it sort of takes a lot of the pressure off of them and allows them to take more risks and allows them to fail as well. So I'm kind of excited to see like what the fuck they do now.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you look back at the last year, the powder eyeshadows, I was like, oh, things are dire. And that, what are they? What After Balm, that super rich moisturizer in the green.
Oh yeah.
Which I was like, flop. It's just cuticle.
I didn't even hear about
it. It's cuticle cream.
I mean, I did hear about it, but it was like a blip.
It sucks. But it's apparently
right.
It sucks. Respectfully, it's apparently like their largest launch in a while.
I think anything that is barrier rescuing, barrier rebuilding, or barrier protecting is just like an easy sell these days.
I agree.
It's like. Skincare was like, peel off your whole face and glow with all of these chemical exfoliants. And everyone went way too hard on that. And now they're like, now I need to restore my barrier.
I'm still going way too hard on them. The world's on fire.
Just like moderation, y'all.
I just
wanna
glow.
I love an acid. Like, I love a face acid. But I also know, like, you can't do that shit every day.
Oops.
But yeah.
I am, last thing about this, I am sort of surprised that they chose to go into retailers and not just sell.
What do you mean just sell?
Like
Like sell the brand?
Yes.
Oh.
To the LVMH of it all.
Oh.
You know, if you're going to sell out, girl,
That's true. I don't know. I think they like appointed a new CEO. They probably have all these plans that their investors had to approve. Mm-hmm. So like this is the step before they sell to LVMH.
I mean, they are opening and reopening brick and mortars like wildfire. So like maybe this all does make sense.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is Glossier relevant anymore?
No, but.
Yeah, like I mean, don't know if it
but
is.
Like, what is relevant though? Because Kara just asked me that this morning. Yeah. I was like, I can't even tell
you.
Yeah,
we were talking about
what
this
fucking
in the group
House
chat.
Labs.
I feel like anything people like makeup that makes you look like you're not wearing makeup, and they always will. Like Jones Road,
yeah.
Rare Beauty.
Oh, fuck, Jones Road. I'm sorry. The thing of like, it is though, it's like everything that is relevant now is because of Glossier. Like,
true.
I fucking ride for
but
Say.
But also Glossier, I love Say.
Yeah.
Did not reinvent the wheel.
No. Yeah. Of course, but they did reinvent how it looked.
Yes.
They didn't reinvent the wheel, but they reinvented the circle. But like,
what?
Like, I don't know. I like, like I said, I love Say, but like Say is only Say because of Glossier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Summer Fridays.
Say is like expensive Glossier.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
It does work better.
I'm not
though.
Sorry. This is a beauty adjacent podcast. Wait, what shady shit did you just say?
I just said it does work better though.
It does work better though. Cloud paint for the masses.
Cloud paint for all. Lash slick for others.
I imagine my surprise.
Okay.
Last week when I was scrambling to get to this beauty event mm-hmm. after work, which was at 6 p.m., which doesn't sit right with me, but it was quite early, especially for dinner, but I was like, whatever. I get there, I walk in, I look around, the girls are girling, and one of the PR girls, who I like a lot, was like, oh, I saw you right next to Sable. And I was like, Sable?
Oh my God.
Sable's coming? Which, like, me not knowing you're coming is not out of the ordinary. Yeah. I mean, it was a skincare event. Like, what the fuck do I care about skincare? And like, if it was a fragrance event, then we usually touch base. But like, mm-hmm. we go to shit all the time, whatever.
Yeah.
So I sit my little happy ass down with the place cards were little succulents with our name on them. Tynan Sinks, Sable Young to my left. And I said, oh, my girl is on her way. And drinks started coming out. The seat is empty. And I said, ooh, she's keeping us waiting. Apps were coming out. I said, ooh, she is going to be fashionably late. She's going to make an entrance like the penguin in Batman.
Just like Danny DeVito.
Sable skipped the dinner.
I skipped it. I was in a medical crisis, okay? Also, it was a heat wave.
It was a heat wave.
Yeah.
It was just funny. I was like,
no, believe you me, nothing hurts my heart more than missing a free dinner.
I was going to say, And to be fair, like no one said anything, but I was like, Sable doesn't miss free
I was
meals.
Like half expecting them to email me being like, are you coming?
Yeah.
They didn't.
It was fine.
But how was the dinner?
It was really good.
Okay.
It was at a place that was like new-ish. Yeah. Food is great. I am enjoying the moisturizer. It is moisturizing.
The moisturizer is moisturizing. Well done.
Which is all we can hope for.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. I've missed like almost every beauty event in the past 2 weeks because of my sinuses and just being depressed. And then I missed one tonight because we had to reschedule this recording. So they like also just emailed me and they're like, just seeing if you're on your way. And I was like, is no one there? And that's why you care.
Yeah, literally.
It's kind of like when I did go out and like if like a friend or someone was like hosting a party and then they'd text you to be like, hey, are you coming? I'd be like, oh no, this means the party sucks.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, no one's there yet.
If you're like starting to head count, that means the party sucks. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But I was like, damn. And again, I'm like just imagining a sad empty chair with my name in front of it. Like, she's the girl that doesn't show. I'm so sorry. Please keep inviting me to your dinners.
The sad succulent is still there. Still on
the
table.
Same succulent.
In the Lower East Side.
Well, this podcast is more important than
it
a
is.
Free dinner.
It is. Listen, we did have a kooky week a week or two ago we were like very stacked with guests.
Yeah.
And then everyone canceled. Someone got COVID. Someone had a family emergency. Yeah. And then we had to scramble, but
they all came back.
Ingenious girlies. And here we are.
If you let them go and they come back, that's how you know it was meant to be.
Christina Aguilera said that.
As did Mariah Carey.
There we go. The two voices of our generation.
Yes. The two genders.
The two genders.
Why did I think that?
I don't know. Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell? I'm so mad about this. Sable, what do you smell like today?
I am so happy to report I'm smelling in general, but I have been blessed with the newest Victor and Rolf fragrance, spearheaded by my girl, FK Twigs.
Queen.
It's called Good Fortune. As she says, good fortune. I love the way she says fortune.
She's so good.
I love her voice. I could listen to her talk like all day. So this is their latest fragrance. And it's very, it has like a kind of, the bottle, it looks like a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the crystal ball emoji.
It looks exactly like the crystal ball emoji. And, you know, the whole vibe of it is very purple and mystical.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like Prince in that way.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be honest, I kind of knew what it would smell like
sure.
when I read the notes and heard them described as such.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised. I think from a brand that has made an empire from a fragrance called Flower Bomb, I'm like, they're not going to stray too far from that.
You haven't said what it smells like.
Okay. I'm going to. Okay. God. So I sprayed it on myself today a couple hours ago, and it still smells the same. Like, good on that.
Yeah.
It's giving spicy floral. It's giving sharp gourmand. It's giving hot girl scents of the mid-aughts. I feel like it's almost like a witch's potion of YSL Libra, black opium, flower bomb. What are the other hot girl scents? Maybe those are just the three.
Okay.
But it's like a witch's potion of that. They outlined, or rather, they called out fennel as a top note. And
jasmine?
It's like a specific jasmine. Fennel and gentian co-distillate. I think that's another floral. Jasmine super infusion. I don't know what super infusion means. Infusion with what? Who knows? And then bourbon vanilla infusion as the base. So I think the bourbon vanilla mixed with the jasmine is giving it that spicy floralness, and the fennel gives it like a little bit of spice. I love fennel.
Same.
One of my favorite salads I make is like fennel and arugula, a little balsamic vinegar, olive oil, and Parmesan cheese. Chef's kiss.
Sybil's hungry.
Yes. But I was like, ooh, fennel. That's interesting. You don't, it doesn't smell like fennel.
I kind of wish it did.
I kind of do too. A part of me was like, you could have gone a little heavier on the fennel, right. But I don't know. I guess it gives it like a little interesting, a little something. But it's very creamy and spicy. And like, you know, it's the way that the hot girl spicy florals tend to go. It's like it warms on your skin, and then you start to smell the vanilla more, and then it feels very like spicy, warm, gourmandy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just smells like hot girls on a night out, the back seat of an Uber pool,
mm-hmm.
going from the meatpacking district to Bushwick for the after party.
Ew.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I never liked the trajectory of those nights at all. Ew. Yeah. I'm no longer in those Ubers.
Me neither.
I found God.
Yeah. I always like knew I wasn't that girl. Even when I was like going through the motions, I'm like, what am I doing?
Girl.
I'm not her.
If I'm in an Uber going to Brooklyn after the party,
yeah.
I'm going to hell.
Yeah. At least I live there. So yeah. I'm like, this brings me slightly closer home.
No, but girl. This, I have been chopping at the bit for this fragrance since like March.
The visuals are great.
The visuals
and
are
great.
And they do
have
great.
A cool, I think you can buy ones with your zodiac charm like customized on it, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
So yeah, I've been dying for this fragrance since March when I got drunk with PR at the Odeon. But I don't.
Dad's disappointed.
But I don't have it yet.
I'm sure they've sent it to you.
Looking at you, bold PR. But
I'm sure it's waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm sure. But so I've only that to say, I've only smelled it on you, and yeah. I'm like,
it smells like hot girls, like party girls.
Does it even?
I think so.
It smells like, and I love a Victor and Rolf scent because they're loud as fuck.
I kind of want to smell it. I want to smell Flower Bomb now to compare them.
I don't think they smell. I think like, okay, however, okay. I do think this smells like Libra. You said
yes. You
said that. And I was like, no, it doesn't.
And then
I was
like, oh, yes, it does.
Yeah, I think it's less spicy floral in the way that we talk about spicy florals. I think it's a little, it's almost a little powdery to me.
It is powdery for sure.
But yeah, I want to smell it on me. God damn it.
I think it will be a commercial success.
Do you?
I think so. I was actually curious how they came up with FKA Twigs as like the spokesperson.
I know, it's
because
so
she's
good.
I mean, she's very cool, yep. and very interesting, but she's also a bit off the cuff, yep. of the mainstream world, yep. even in the music industry, yep. So I was like, oh, what an interesting choice. Like, if anything, I feel like they would choose like a Charlie XCX, totally. Who's like a little bit more mainstream. Totally. But like, I don't know, FKA Twigs is like, she's almost like too cool to do like a big corporate campaign.
She's not too cool to cash a check.
I mean, no, good for her. I remember listening to an interview with her on Julia Fox's podcast.
Oh, God.
And she was saying how during the pandemic, like, obviously, tours were canceled. She wasn't working. But, like, a musician and artist at her level still has, like, a team and a staff
sure.
that, like, are full-time with her. And she said that, like, she kept all of them on payroll throughout wow. the pandemic because she's like, we're a family, we're gonna wow. get through this. But then she said towards the end, she's like, no, I was about to have to sell my house like to keep supporting everybody. And then like I think at that point was when tours were like allowed to happen again.
Which you got offered the campaign.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought too. Then I was like, oh, what good timing that you got offered this hopefully big check campaign.
Well, that's great. I mean, that kind of shit always comes back to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, she looks amazing in the visuals.
Mm-hmm. However, the bottle does not. The bottle was not even there at the shoot.
Really?
If you look closely,
oh,
if the bottle was there, the logo was not. All of the assets that they're running yeah. on paid, the bottle's there, but it looks like I comped in the logo on huh. Instagram stories.
Interesting.
I'm like, where are y'all's graphic designers? Anyways, she looks stunning.
She looks great. I think I read that the song Killer mm-hmm. is a part of the campaign. Huh. I wouldn't say that she wrote it to be part of the campaign, no. but it, like, I don't know why they're like co-opting it.
They're certainly happening in tandem.
Yeah, yeah. But that's my favorite track of her new album.
Do you like Capra songs?
It's okay.
Ugh, I love it.
It's growing on me. Yeah. It's growing.
It's very me though.
Yeah.
You know?
But wait, Killer is on a different album.
Killer's a single.
Is a single.
Yeah.
On a forthcoming album.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. I like whatever direction that is going in.
Same.
I didn't love Tears in the Club.
I love Tears in the Club.
I think it's too literal.
It's a little generic.
Yeah.
For
it's
her.
Like,
a,
yeah, exactly. Like, she's so poetic and abstract. And then I was like, oh, you're going to be that literal? Just yeah. Tears in the Club?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I think you have to be. To
and then,
the
like,
weekend
the weekend comes
song.
In. I'm like, he doesn't need to be here.
I don't like him, but I
are
like
we crying
song.
Because he's here?
Yes.
Go away, Abel. Tying in. Oh, what?
We forgot to mention the Marissa Zappa's party.
Oh, fuck, yeah. So we both attended a launch party for Marissa Zappa's. I don't know if it's a relaunch, her Redmans collection.
We were very murky on the details.
Yeah, we were really murky on the details. But she launched a collection at Lucky Scent, a.k.a. Scent Bar, her Redmans collection. Mm-hmm. There's three fragrances. Mm-hmm. They're all really cool. They're all based on like unknown historical women figures.
Yeah, the way that she talks about it is extremely cool and beautiful. Yeah.
It's like a bit like fairy tale-esque almost, except they're actual people.
Well, yeah, that and it's just like women's relationships with like each other and presentation. Mm-hmm. And I'm very top line paraphrasing here.
Same,
so
same.
Marissa, if you're listening, don't come for me. I'm so sorry. Yeah. But yeah, it was... That was the first time I've met her in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's so fucking cool.
She's so sweet. She's really cool.
Yeah.
That was also the first time I got to smell Annabelle's birthday cake.
You said that. I did not know that.
I never got a sample of it.
Really?
And I get the hype now. I totally get the hype now because I think like when I read it, I was like, okay, it probably smells like a cake. Whatever. But it's like so much more than that.
There's a note of balloons.
Yes. Well, like it does have like that gourmandy dessertiness to
for
it,
sure.
But again, it has like this like sweet, spicy gourmandness that, uh-huh. that gives it a lot more depth uh-huh. that I was like, oh shit.
And there's like this big dose of lemon and almost like the pungentness of a broken vine too that almost makes it like vinyl-y.
Really?
It's cool.
I was getting like spicy gourmand.
It is
bit.
Spicy. It's very yeah. gourmand. Don't get me
yeah,
wrong.
Very
but like
gourmand.
On top of all of that, there's like citrus yeah. and like a little grape.
Like I wasn't getting like fluffy dessert. I was almost getting a more earthiness to it, which I really love.
I would be interested to see how it wears on you.
Yeah, probably quite differently.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, damn. I get why people obsess over this now.
Totally.
Like, shit.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stan Marissa Zappos.
Stan.
Okay, sorry.
Also like randomly like Miranda July was at that party and I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, huh?
I was like standing next to
her. There was just like a bunch of us like loitering in Scent Bar. And it's like a quite small space if you've ever been there in a, what was that? Nolita, Soho?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what neighborhoods are anymore. And my friend Lauren Servidian was also there, who I haven't seen in forever.
Yeah.
Who's like one of my favorite Instagram comedians. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you were there because I walk in and they were like, we're out of champagne. And I was like, okay, bye. But then I turn around and Sable's right there. I was like, oh, thank God, I have a reason to be here.
I brought my friend Dara just like, because we were like going to hang out. Then I was like, oh, I have to go to the smell event later. Do you want to come? And she's like, yes. And like, she had the time of her life just like smelling things. It was cool. So fun. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyone can go to a smell party.
Anyone.
Anybody. Got a nose? You can go.
Yeah.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Okay. I don't know. I've been... in such a weird place with this all day. So today's episode, not to spoil the gag, it has the global vice president of Marc Jacobs fragrances. And this is an episode that we have like sort of been fighting tooth and nail to make happen.
Yeah.
Since we started almost 2 years ago. This was truly one of the first that we were both like, we need to have Marc Jacobs on. Obviously they are, you know, one of the huge drivers of culture and conversation and contemporary fragrance. And it's just like a big, whatever, you know, not to get all queer and sentimental, but I have been wearing the original Marc Jacobs fragrance since I was like 16. And it means like so much to me because I love it. Oh, anyway, that's what I'm wearing today. Sorry.
Oh.
But it means so much to me because it is one of the two fragrances that has come with me through all of this. And it's just like, I sprayed it on this morning because I knew that we were doing all this tonight and I thought it'd be a nice thing to wear. And I don't know, it's just made me like wonky all day because I was like, fuck, I don't know, it's just one of those things.
Wait, so this is the original Marc Jacobs?
Yeah, it's like fragrance. Full circle energy. Do you know what I mean? Wow, we're finally here. If only me almost 20 years ago could see me now. I don't know, I hate. But yeah, so I'm wearing the original Marc Jacobs for men, and I love it today just as much as I did when I first smelled it. It is like sweet and green and like beachy, but beachy in this sort of like salty ocean airway, not the sunny coconut sunscreen way. Mm-hmm. It just like redefined the way that I saw the possibilities of fragrance as a 16-year-old guy who that was like interrogating, you know, my queerness and my gender expression and all of these things. And this fragrance like repositioned all of the possibilities of what I could be in my life. And here the fuck I am.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's a lot.
No, it is. It's just like, oh, like men can be sweet and men can be soft and, you know, men don't have to be one thing. And
where did you buy it originally?
I bought it at...
Where did you discover it?
I discovered it at the Marshall Fields, which was probably by then Macy's counter at my local Cherryvale Mall in Rockford, Illinois. Shout out. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about when you live in not New York or LA, and you don't, you also have no money because you're 16 years old.
Yeah.
But you know, you have, you obsessively read fashion and beauty magazines, and they're your sort of entryway into the industry, which is a very mysterious. Fragrance is your one tactile entry point into that, which is, I mean, a $65, $85 fragrance is not affordable to a 16-year-old or anyone today, but
it's like something you could realistically ask for Christmas or a birthday, or your parents would be like, okay,
yeah fine, little gay boy, or you know, save up for or whatever. I'm not not buying like a Marc Jacobs trench for a couple grand, but I thought Marc Jacobs was so glamorous and so cool and queer, which it all was
time also. It was like the hot it brand,
right yeah. Exactly. So I, you know, I got my hands in this and you couldn't tell me shit, you know what I mean? One, I thought I was so cool because I could just say, oh, I'm wearing Marc Jacobs, like have you heard of it? But I also genuinely loved it, and it's just come with me through like all of this, like my entire career in beauty and fragrance, and my entire career is like figuring out what any of this shit means to me, and you know, fragrance, beauty, queerness, all of it. And I think a lot of people look at me and are like, what does this all mean? Like, you,
what are you
like? Exactly. Like,
here?
You're
What is this, Pink Man?
You're gay because you wear makeup. You wear makeup because you're gay, and it's like it's not that intertwined. You know, yeah. It's not that easy. Please, but like sometimes it is. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes it's like, where does this all fit in?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to separate all that, and I think it's a privilege to even have the conversation with myself of like these two things are not the same, and like this does not mean that. But I look back and I'm like, ooh, this fragrance like was the entry point in me being like, you can be anything you want.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even, like, your queerness can look however you want it to.
Yeah.
It can look exactly the way people, like, tell you it is, or it can look different, and all of it's okay. Anyway.
Respect.
This fragrance is all of that. It's sweet, it's green, it's beachy, it's lovely.
Is it discontinued?
No, question mark.
Okay.
I believe it is continued.
When did it come out?
It came out in 2002.
Oh.
Which was the year I started high school, I think.
Okay. I think I was a sophomore in high school.
That would make sense.
I was like middle, yeah.
I have recently spoke about this fragrance, so I don't need to beat it in the ground. But what I didn't realize until today, which is odd because I look at the notes like twice a year,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of fig in it. And I think Ooh. The sweetness of it comes from that in the same way that, you know, Debaser is really figgy
right,
from
yeah.
DS and Durga. The fig is really purple and nectary and deep. And yeah, the top is bergamot, cypress, spices, cumin, cardamom, ginger. The middle is watery fig leaves with a combination of rose and cyclamen. And then the base is tonka bean with musk, fig, and moss. So I actually do think all those notes help to really bring it to life. This is just one of the most beautiful fragrances of my lifetime to me. It's one of the most beautiful fragrances I've ever smelled in any way. Sorry for that meltdown. today, we finally are happy to say that we have Erwan from Marc Jacobs joining us on the show today. This all started, well, besides begging, for the last 2 years, I went to a fundraiser at Cipriani that Marc Jacobs Fragrance was generous enough to invite me to at the beginning of Pride, I think.
Yeah.
Time is a flat circle. I don't know. It was for the Center. The Center Dinners, this gigantic queer fundraiser. I was sat right next to him. And he's one of the loveliest people ever. We talked a lot about fragrance. And it wasn't one of those like pitchy PR conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't trying to sell me on the brand. I was like, I already love you. You know that. We actually just talked about fragrance in general and like other fragrances he likes. And I was like, oh, like you are the shit.
Yeah.
Come on our show.
Yeah. So would you like to say more on the record?
I was like, boy, do I have an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
And for you, I mean for me. But this is actually, I didn't know this until this week, the Marc Jacobs Fragrance's first appearance on a podcast.
Oh, wow. Go us.
You knew that. You were on the email.
I know, but they don't know that. God. Just trying to.
You would not be nominated for an Oscar for that performance.
So I method.
Method means you believe it. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, I feel like I feel like consistently we get people in our DMs about the Daisy Flankers.
Yeah.
I think just because they're so ubiquitous that everyone has interacted with the Daisy at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I just like keep receiving them every time a new one comes out, which is like every 6 months.
Yeah.
It's almost like a magazine subscription. It's
right.
Like, this is month's Daisy.
Right.
And finally, I'm like, I need to know, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing this?
Well, you're right. I mean, we've talked.
Why are you doing this?
We've talked a lot about flankers and with our experience in the industry, you know, both in editorial and behind the scenes. Like, we know a lot about how these things happen and why things are franchised.
Yeah.
No matter.
But this is like the most robust flanker army,
exactly,
I think, that we know of.
So, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense to have someone from the brand on to, one, discuss the brand that we love, and also to really go deep into the flankerization of fragrances in general.
Yeah. What is it? Why is it? How do they keep reproducing?
Let's find out.
Okay.
Hi, everyone listening. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Erwan Lebehego. I'm the vice president of the Marc Jacobs Fragrances at Coty. Coty is one of the world's largest beauty companies with a portfolio of iconic brands in cosmetics, fragrances, and skincare. And Marc Jacobs is one of them.
We're so happy to have you today. I know we just were talking about this before we started recording, but when Sable and I were sort of ideating around the show before we launched it and even after, Marc Jacobs was one of the brands that was just like tip top for us. We're like, do you think we could fucking get these guys? And finally, after almost 2 years, we have. So yeah. Thank you so, so much for joining us. We're so excited.
Thank you.
Erwin, we'd love to know, what do you smell like today?
That's a very good question. I actually love what I'm wearing today. It's a fragrance that's not even out yet. I have to say it's currently in development from Alberto Morillas, who's the master perfumer behind all the Marc Jacobs Daisy fragrances.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He's been on board for since the beginning, actually, and we're very lucky to have him on this brand. And yes, it's actually a fragrance for women, but I personally alternate a lot, you know, between wearing men's and women's fragrances with the same pleasure. I strongly believe the idea of a gender fragrance is obsolete. You know, it's more a question of alchemy, you know, between your skin and your personality. I think a floral smell like rose, for instance, is great on men, the same way that there is nothing better than a woody fragrance, you know, on a woman's skin. So I think, I think it's more about that today.
That's so exciting.
That's exciting.
So wait, when does this fragrance and development launch? Can you tell us?
Well, it's still, of course, a bit a secret project, but we are working today on a new, let's say, flanker of Daisy. We call it a new flower with a new design. It's a new project and it will be out normally next year.
Oh,
wow.
All right.
So it's a whole new flower?
It's going to be, yes, a new flower. Yes. Yes. Part of the Daisy garden. Yeah.
Cute.
That's really cool because today we wanted to sort of not focus the entire episode on, but really talk about flankers and have you sort of give us the rundown. Because when we think about really iconic scents and then them getting flankered out throughout the years, one of the fragrances that we think about first is Daisy. And we're both huge fans of Daisy. Sable got me into Daisy and all of its flankers within the last year. So I think you're the perfect person to discuss all that.
Yes, of course. I mean, Daisy, you know, it's true that there's originally the Daisy Classic original, which was launched in 2008. And then, you know, we really enriched, let's say, the family with new members, new Daisies, or Daisy Also Fresh, Daisy, Daisy Love, Daisy Dream, Daisy Love Also Sweet. So think more like sort of a sisterhood, you know, and they're all coming from the same family. They all have somehow sort of an olfactive link together, but they're also different. You know, they have different personalities. And that's a little bit the way we have built also this Daisy family, let's say. But the good thing is that they had this common signature. You know, you have these very addictive woody notes combined with some fruity floral composition that are very specific. Experts sometimes call these olfactive compositions as nondescript because you cannot really tell, you know, which flower is inside. However, we always work with some fruity notes, you know, like berries, for instance, like the Daisy Classic is more whiteberry. The Also Fresh is more raspberry. So there is always this kind of play on berries associated with a floral scent that, again, we call it nondescript. I prefer to use the word unexpected or mysterious, but that's a little bit how we work on these fragrances.
Mm, sure.
For people who may not know, can you explain what a flanker is in the fragrance industry context?
Yes, of course. A flanker is usually, I mean, it comes, again, as I said, from the same family. It's usually, let's say, it starts with an idea, you know, to express a new conceptual or an olfactive point of view from the original signature fragrance, with the purpose to meet the desires of our audience or bring new people, you know, into the community. So there's multiple ways to develop a business and flankers is one of these, let's say, avenue. We build flankers with different expressions, you know, of the same concept, which we call in our case a collection model. And this is what we are doing on Daisy. But you can also have a different approach using what we call, you know, in the industry, the icon-centric model, when we focus more on the icon, the original fragrance, and we launch line extensions, you know, with an opportunity, you know, to expand, you know, the signature scent. So this is what we are currently doing on Perfect, for instance. So we stretch the concept a little bit further on Daisy because also the fragrance is older. It's more mature also in a way. Not the audience, but the fragrance per se has been on the market for 14 years. So we probably go a little bit further, you know, in expressing a different territory. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It does. How did Marc Jacobs decide to create all these flankers of Daisy instead of, for instance, just creating more Marc Jacobs fragrances?
Yeah, I think the process of decision really depends, you know, on the, again, the maturity of a fragrance. We brands launch flankers when they've already deployed, you know, the full armada of line extensions, like the Toilette or the Parfum Intense, which typically stay close, you know, to the original scent. Mm-hmm. It's the flanker is somehow a way to delight, you know, our community who already loves a successful fragrance and bring a new twist to their favorite scent. So timing is key, you know, when we have to launch a flanker, because we really want to meet, you know, what our community is expecting, and we use for that, you know, our social platforms, the rates and reviews, you know, on website, and we really try to get, you know, the perception and the feeling and the emotions, you know, that our community has, and that's also very useful, you know, to define when this is the right moment to launch a new flanker.
Sable, that was a really good question. I sort of want to spin off of that because you've got me thinking. You know, I'm wearing the original Marc Jacobs scent right now, and I've been wearing it my entire life and I love it. But when I think of that bottle, which is very sort of like understated and austere, and then I think of the original Daisy, which is so joyful and sort of sculptural. Erwan, do you think that, like, with the launch of, you know, a new tentpole scent like Daisy, when I think of all the Marc Jacobs scents past that, it feels like the bottles have been such a part of the fragrance because they're so sculptural and artistic and just fun. Do you think, I'm sort of riffing here and I apologize, but the design of a bottle helps its success, which then leads to the flankerization of it? Because like Sable said, the originals are the originals, but then you get the Daisy, and then there have been many iterations of it. Do you think that the design of the component has anything to do with that?
Yes, I think so, especially on this brand. And to your point, I mean, Daisy and even Perfect, you know, were developed at two different moments. Mm-hmm. 13 years apart, and they had their respective universes, you know, which correspond to different moods and eras. You know, the brand itself, the Marc Jacobs brand, fashion brand, has evolved, you know, since the years. And it's true that when Marc started 20 years ago to develop fragrances, the approach was much more classic. And Marc also has this. I mean, Marc himself, you know, has a very classic background in fashion, but also has always been very much at the top of the trends and understanding also more than anyone else, you know, the trends and the youth culture. And I think Daisy and Perfect very much embrace that aspect of his personality. It's much more playful. It's younger also. So yeah, definitely the bottles have an important part to play in the success of these fragrances. For instance, in Asia, we know that the Chinese consumers really like collect, you know, the bottles are they were collecting art almost, you know, like they put that on their shelves in their bathroom. You know, they really expect, you know, the new limited editions coming every year. So of course the triggers, you know, to buy a Daisy fragrance is of course the scent, but also a lot the packaging, you know, which is so playful and cool and collectible. Daisy is very timeless and universal, and this is why it works so well also, I think, because it can really speak to anyone in between age. You know, the Daisy universe and territory, especially the advertising, is really about this in between age, you know, teenagehood and adulthood, you know, when everything is possible, you know. It's a world of possibilities, you know, when you are between 15 and 16. And I think this is really about that. And this is also the reason why it became so iconic, I think. All the girls, you know, who grew in this country were Daisy at some point, or no friends, or have been surrounded by
people
who are with this. You know, it's almost cultural. You know, and I think this is why this is probably an icon, because it evokes a lot of positive emotions, you know, for this generation. It's like a safe place.
No. Yeah.
Absolutely. I have the whole Daisy Garden.
She does.
It's my home.
You're a Daisy girl.
Yeah, care of Koji. Thank you very much.
Shut up. We've touched briefly on the original sense, and of course we have already and will continue to talk a lot about Daisy and the Daisy family. But of course, those two are not the only Marc Jacobs sense. We have Perfect, as you mentioned. There's been a lot throughout the years. Can you describe the Marc Jacobs perspective on fragrance overall?
Yes, of course. So I think Marc and the team, you know, we are really much breaking into new territories, you know, and trying to explore, you know, the unexpected. The olfactive approach in general on Marc Jacobs fragrances is to always strike a fine balance between elegance and ease, you know, for a rather young audience. And this is really what we are always trying to achieve, you know, with our fragrances. Then I think on Perfect, more specifically, that we have launched 2 years ago, Marc himself was very much involved. Because for me, it was important to encapsulate, you know, with this fragrance, really the spirit of the fashion brand of today and what he was trying to express in terms of inclusivity, in terms of self-love, in terms of celebrating also who we are, you know, and it's really about this personal journey, you know, to find also somehow, I don't know if we can find happiness, but at least to touch a bit of happiness, you know. Mm. So that's a little bit, you know, the way we want to work, you know, on this brand and with Marc and clearly the bottle, you know, per se, you know, with all the charms, you know, we fair, you know, to his fashion, you know, the bow, the cherries, you know, have been.
I love the bush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very iconic now and people really, really like it. And it speaks directly, you know, to the Marc Jacobs fashion and in accessories.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Sure. I got that right away from all the charms. I kind of wanted him to like release jewelry in the charms.
Yeah.
He composed everything himself. I mean,
Yeah,
there is in the archive a video that shows Marc like literally playing with all those elements and putting them together. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm so curious, when you're building a scent like Perfect and like Daisy that are both so visually attention grabbing, does the scent come first or does the visuals come first?
I think everything, I mean, we work in parallel, you know, because there is a specific timing of development, you know, for the juice, for the packaging, also for the communication, which can take a bit of time, you know.
Yeah.
And for the juice itself, I think it started in parallel. I think there was also this envy to provide a juice that could actually be worn also by men and women equally, and especially when you look at the dry down and when you wear it, you know, there is this kind of very woody cashmere horn notes that is extremely comfortable, that I'm wearing myself also a lot, and that brings this kind of, I don't know how to say it, like boyish in the fragrance, and that makes it quite unique, you know. So the idea was also to blur the lines, you know, between women and men's fragrances with Perfect.
Mm.
Interesting.
I know when we think about Perfect, we think about the cap with all the charms. Yeah. That is so eye-catching and such a delight. But I think like one of my favorite parts about it is that the bottle itself is so gorgeous. Even without the cap, it just looks sort of, it takes me to like,
it's classic.
A whiskey decanter, yeah. Almost. Oh, it's
That's
gorgeous.
True.
And then you top it with this like chaotic, joyful cap. And it's just like this, like you said, this balance of sort of not even masculine and feminine, just like very serious and very fun, yeah. Which I think like speaks to Marc Jacobs perfectly.
Absolutely.
It's a very good point actually, because I think that's a little bit the way Marc is working creatively. It's always about finding the right balance between all the elements. And there is always a sort of a tension between something that is classic and something that is more disruptive. And that's exactly what you find in those bottles actually. And it's true that the glass part is referred to more like a classic fragrance, you know, even from the 50s or the 60s, but it's totally disrupted, you know, and by the you know, all the charms that are put together. So it's always about finding the right tension. I think you got it. Right. Yeah.
I'm curious, and you don't have to reveal any trade secrets if you're not allowed to, but like with a scent with a name like Perfect, and like the fact that you guys already came out with an intense version, I was curious. I'm like, I wonder if they'll have a bunch of flankers like in the same way that Daisy does. But with a name like Perfect, it's like, how much can you expand on something that's already perfect?
That's true. No, I think for the moment, we are trying to expand with what we call an extensions, which are more like sort of a iteration of the original fragrance. So it's a little bit what we have done with the Intense, which was very much back driven. And we try to push a little bit more the sensuality of the fragrance, the Santan notes and the cashmere. It's actually very, very good on skin. We will probably explore for the next one something probably a bit fresher, but I cannot really reveal more at this stage.
Fair.
How do you decide, or how do you know what fragrances to make flankers of? Like, what are the deciding factors?
Yeah, I think the deciding factors is really about finding the right moment. There is no typical rhythm to launch a flanker. Usually it's, as I said, it's about also taking the pulse of the community and what people expect, from a fragrance that they love. But usually we launch a flanker when a product starts to get, I wouldn't say old, but we want to reenchant a little bit. We want to update, let's say, a territory or a conceptual approach that has been taken at that, during the launch. And in some cases, a flanker can also be used for more recent launches when we need to make some sort of corrective actions, it's a little bit, business school, what I'm saying now, but when we feel that we didn't really touch, our audience because the communication was slightly off, or the juice was too polarizing, or people didn't really understand some of the elements of the mix. So sometimes a flanker can be a reason, to correct that and make sure that the product really please, the agents and the community.
That's really interesting. And I don't mean to get too like marketing 101 here. And also we can pull it out of Marc Jacobs and just make it more like theoretical, because I don't want Cody to come back and beat my ass. But like...
it's true. Because you're right. It's not exactly the way it's done on Daisy.
Yeah.
But it's, having myself experienced working on other brands.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's what is done. Yes.
So like,
it's about rejuvenating somehow the classic, or making some sort of corrective action, or something that didn't work as much as we expected.
If you were, and again, and whatever brand you're doing this for, if you were trying to course correct something, what would that launch look like? Obviously you would edit the juice to, please the consumer, or, make right what they didn't like about it, of course. But how do you then tell that story? Because in my day job, this is like all of what I do. So, what does that even look like? I'm trying to land the plane on this question. But
how do you correct something without telling people it's a correction?
Exactly.
I think, when I say correct, it was a bit misleading. Just that sometimes some products can be perceived as too polarizing.
Sure.
So it doesn't mean that the original launch was not well done, or just that sometimes it didn't meet the expectations that the brand might have. And that's a little bit how it works, And most of the time when we launch flankers on a product, it means that there are still some interesting elements that have been unexplored or could have been explored differently, but the base is good,
Sure.
Right.
Otherwise, you don't launch a flanker. Otherwise, you just really go and you say, okay, let's have this fragrance die, and let's start something else from scratch, So that's why for me, yes, I call it corrective action, because again, it's more like a marketing term, but it's a bit more subtle than that. And I think it's most of the time and from the what I experienced myself is, it's not that it was not good enough at this place. It was that something it was polarizing.
Right. Every time I smell a new flanker of Daisy, I can recognize the original DNA of the scent. And then there's like a unique element to it. Like the latest one that I've smelled was Daisy Skies.
Yeah.
And I also have Daisy Skies Love and the Eau Fraîche. And they kind of all have like a little bit of like a mineral quality to it. that is like, to me, like stands out from all the other flankers. And then I'm just like, after this, I'm like, how many places can they go with these daisies? Like, how many more daisies can you make?
And the beauty of daisy is that, as I said, we are working with the same perfumer, the master perfumer, Alberto Morillas, and we are very lucky because he's really the guardian, you know, of this daisy family. The ones that you have met recently, the daisy skies are actually limited edition of the daisy classic, like the daisy beauty, the love, and also fresh. And the way we work this limited edition, usually we are trying to bring a twist on the top notes with new ingredients, something a little bit unexpected. Mm-hmm. And each season we explore different territories. You know, it can be a little bit more mineral, as you describe it, or it can be, I don't know, a milk, for instance. You know, I remember exploring like the oat milk or the almond milk, or all the, you know, the smell of a milk, you know, mixed with the original daisy. And this is really the approach we are trying to take on the limited edition. So we are not changing so much the core of the fragrance, but we are trying to bring a little twist by adding a surprising element, you know, on the original right. fragrance. But it's normal that you really recognize, you know, sort of a common olfactory signature. It's on purpose.
Interesting. Does the name come last then, or does the tweet come
first? usually actually the names come first.
Oh.
In this case, yes, the name triggers a little bit the rest of the marketing mix, I would say. And usually this is what also inspire Mark in the development and also the perfumer.
That's interesting. Wow. Because like, I feel like when I think of all the flankers' names for daisy, they all have a very cozy, comforting, fantasy kind of vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And then skies was probably the most abstract to me.
Yeah, I think it would make a differentiation between the flankers and the limited edition. Because what we call flankers, even internally, you know, because flanker is a business term. I'm not even sure the final consumer is exposed, you know, to this word. Right. We like to call it flower for the consumer, because each flanker is a different flower. You know, it's a different design of the flower. It's a different bottle.
Right.
When the limited editions are coming only for 6 months, they're limited.
Oh, wow.
By definition.
That's very limited.
Yeah,
it's very limited. And skies is a limited edition. So it's more like think more like a fashion drop, you know, like the drop that you find fashion, you know, when, I don't know, Nike does some collaboration with, I don't know, an artist or another brand, you know. I think the limited editions are more like thought that way. So it's not meant to stay, but it's really meant to be there like 6 months, you know, to bring a little bit more excitement to our community. Yeah. You know, when the flanker, it's a different approach. When we launch a new flanker on daisy, and the flanker is like Daisy Also Fresh or Daisy Love, you know, they always come with a new design, a new bottle design, and it's meant to stay a long time, you know, in the market.
I see.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
I got confused because it's very meta. It's like a yes. limited edition of a flanker.
That's true.
How do you guys know when it's time to release a new tentpole fragrance versus another flanker? Because as we've seen, you know, the daisy flankers are sort of an ongoing conversation. And we have seen in the daisy lifespan as a whole, many Marc Jacobs drops sprinkled in between. But how do you know when it's time for a new scent rather than a new daisy?
It's a very commercial question. I mean, it's a combination, you know, of, I would say, a desire at some point of expressing a new point of view in fragrances, also from Marc or for, you know, any brand. Marc in the case of Marc Jacobs, of course, but for any brand, usually it's really the desire to express from a brand a new point of view. For instance, you know, when a brand has a new designer on board, that's also the opportunity for him or her to express his or her point of view, you know, in fragrances. So that could be the moment. Commercially, from a commercial standpoint, I think the moment is right when the brand can already support, you know, what they have in their portfolio in terms of, you know, trade and media and all the means that we have to expose, you know, and to bring to life and to advertise, you know, the fragrances. So not every brand can support, you know, 4 or 5 fragrances, you know, so there's a limited number of fragrances that a brand can support. So that's also really what I would say triggered the decision. So it's a mix of a desire to express a new point of view in fragrances from a designer or from a brand, and the capacity to support, you know, this new fragrance within, you know, the current business, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
We think about the last sort of new fragrance from Marc Jacobs, we think of Perfect. And I've always been curious because it seems like that scent was, when it came out, it was 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was sort of at the height or maybe at the beginning of the, you know, other side of the hill of the skin scent craze that was happening. And to me, it seemed like Perfect was sort of Marc Jacobs' version of that. While not responding to it literally, it was a scent that was really soft and textural. And like you said, had this really interesting creamy almond milk note. Was Perfect born of the sort of mid-2010s craze of softer, more skin-like scents? Or was that an idea all its own?
I think we're trying to respond also to a desire from our audience and community and consumers in general to have fragrances that are much more clean-like and more like, I would say, a blend, you know, between your own smell somehow and the fragrance, rather than having something that really covers, something that blends with your own smell and creates, that's why it's so unique from one person to another. And I think Perfect was really thought that way. And I think brands tend to more and more focus on this sensation on skin and the comfort and the long lasting and also the diffusibility, rather than focusing only on the immediate impact fragrance might have, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think Perfect was really thought that way. It's not a fragrance that is necessarily obvious at the first time, but it's really something that you discover over time when you wear it and when you live with it and when you start to get compliments. And it's not something that is overpowering, but it's something that lasts, you know, on your skin.
Yeah.
Which I
think definitely thought that.
Yeah, which I think is technically more complicated to achieve, but this is also for me the signature of a great fragrance, you know, when it's not necessarily too loud, but something that really stays with you for a long time.
Yeah, I think there is this romantic notion of a perfume that takes on all new facets of its own depending on the individual wearer.
Yeah, for sure.
And that whole, like, you know, quote unquote skin scent category does cover that a lot.
Yeah.
And then I've started noticing that a lot more fragrances are coming out with intense versions.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, they've been in development over the past few years, but they all seem to be coming out around now or in the past 2 years. And I'm wondering, like, what is this trend of intense versions of fragrances?
It's a very interesting point. And I think there is, you know, I would say two trends that contradict themselves. It's true. Huh? There is a part of the consumers that are really looking for something more and more heavy and loud and intense in that way, because I think they really want to stand out. They really want to use, you know, their fragrance as a vector, you know, to express, you know, their personalities, who they are. And that trends also come a lot from Europe, but also Middle East. You know, this is a little bit how the Middle Eastern consumers, you know, are appreciating, you know, the fragrances. You know, they're really looking for something heavy, you know, woody and with a lot of wood. I personally like these kind of fragrances, especially in winter, because, you know, it's something that really like envelops you and really creates like a sort of an atmosphere. And it's very sensual also at the same time. So I would say this is one consumer, and I think people are also looking for value for money, I have to say. So fragrances are not cheap. So they want to make sure that, you know, when they buy a fragrance, you know, they have enough quality and that quality perception.
Right. They want a lot of bang for their buck.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And there's another trend, which is, as you said, people who don't really like this kind of overpowering fragrances and want to stay true, you know, to who they are and their own scent, and they don't want to have something covered, but they're more looking for something that, you know, as you said, like melt with their own scent and their own skin. Mm-hmm. And most of these consumers find all the proposals, especially from the niche markets and the collection, overpowering and too strong for them. So they always go with something that is lighter. So they still want to have something that is long lasting, because long lasting is critical, but they want something that really stays on the skin in a very soft way, you know, and not something that really stand out too much, you know. So it's more like a personal approach, I would say, of the fragrance. Something that they wear almost more for themselves than for the others.
Mm.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. I feel like we've covered so much of what we wanted to talk about. Oh my goodness. But
really?
One thing that I am curious about, and this might just like be more of your opinion than anything, but what is it about going back to Daisy that has given it such longevity as a fragrance in your collection that is able to be reinterpreted so many times and see so much success year over year and, you know, flower after flower? What is it about that struck a chord with consumers, do you think?
I think the reason why Daisy has been is considered today as an icon, it's because, again, it has a very specific and unique territory. You know, I was mentioning this in-between age, you know, between teenagehood and adulthood, that is very specific, you know, and it's something that speaks to anyone, that is timeless and universal. And I think the sign of a great fragrance is originally a concept that is timeless, universal, can speak to anyone. And I think that's the case of this. And also there is a very recognizable signature. It's not possible to stay in the top 10, in the top 5 so long if it's not a scent that you can recognize in a nanosecond. So I think that's really the case of Daisy. And that's really the reason why, you know, that fragrance has been a commercial success, you know, for so many years. Mm-hmm. It has this very specific signature. And then over time, you know, it's, as I said, it's also about creating these very positive emotions, you know, and being part of the culture somehow. You know, I think that everybody at some point wore Daisy or know someone who wore Daisy. So I think it's really a sign of a success and what makes this a fragrance, you know, a long-time success.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just going to go on forever.
It really will.
Yeah.
It's like the multiverse of the Daisy.
Yeah.
And we have a new one actually coming out in a few weeks.
Oh wow! You'll have to send that one to us.
Yes, of course I will. It's Daisy Ever So Fresh. It's launching now actually in the US. It's working very well, and it's actually it's a line extension of Daisy Also Fresh, which happens to be a huge success in the US, and we are really trying to combine here the freshness, the immediate freshness, and the long lasting. You are mentioning the fact that, you know, where people are looking for like long lasting fragrances. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be the most concentrated fragrance of the Daisy family. So I'm looking forward to hear your comments, you know, on this.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have some comments.
Absolutely.
Not us getting an exclusive.
I was really curious. I was like, tell us the name. Tell us the new
one. He did though, right? Ever So Fresh.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be something else, but
so
based on insider knowledge
so did I.
So I was like, watch perhaps he's pivoting to not a lie, but an omission.
Cody's going to snipe us right here in this room.
I'm not giving away any trade secrets. I also didn't sign any NDAs.
Stop. They'll come for us. Well.
Well.
That was so great.
That was interesting.
It was great.
I guess I don't think I learned anything that surprised me so much. What? I'm just saying, things happened as I suspected they would, but I'm still just I'm picturing a Marc Jacobs conference room when someone's like, yo, what about skies? What about dream.
I love that every podcast ends and Sable's just like, just as I thought.
Exactly as I thought.
Well, well, well.
I don't know. I feel like it'd be fun to be in that creative team, just to be like, so the prompt of this fragrance will be almost like a reality show, like a Top Chef or something, when they reveal the ingredient.
Oh my God, right. It's interesting that it sounds like the names come first.
Yeah. I mean, that does make sense because a name can evoke like so many ideas for a smell. Because like the other way around, I feel like that would be way more abstract if they're like, what does it smell like? I don't know, a sky? Like, that'd be weird.
Right.
So it makes sense that creatively it's the other way around. Yeah. Although I guess it makes sense too that he's like, oh, we just kind of fuck with the top notes. So it's like, oh, that's the secret.
It does.
I see.
I think Daisy Flankers have kind of gotten better and better.
They have. And they've got more interesting.
I know. And that's not me just talking out of my ass because we had him on the show. But I mean, you showed me how much that I love. What do I like? Daisy Love.
You like Daisy Love.
And Oh So Intense.
And Oh So
Love.
Intense.
And I'm not
really like the intense one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a huge original Daisy girl, but those I love, love.
I also really like the Perfect Intense compared to the original.
Yeah. I'm not, I mean,
it has like way more of the almondiness to it. Yes.
I appreciate like Perfect for what it is. And you're right. I think Perfect Intense is there's obviously it is more intense, so it's lovely.
It lives up to the name.
It's almost a little more tart.
Yeah.
But I guess almond in a weird way is tart.
I think it can be. Yeah. Almond is one of those things that can smell different depending on like what it's mixed with, which is interesting. Yeah. But I do really like that one.
Same. Well.
Well.
I'm excited for this episode, and I'm so excited for the new March Jacobs Daisy Flankers and the rest of them that are...
They'll just keep coming forever. And like, there'll be an apocalypse, and there's still a new Daisy coming out.
Daisy at the end of the world.
Daisy at the end. That's slightly comforting to me, honestly.
Right.
Anyway, find us on our website, smellyoulater.live. Follow us on... What?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tikra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.